All right, 1380 Radio WPHM every Monday around this time. It's our Made in Michigan Monday, and we've talked before, and it's always good to get an update on what's going on with sugar here in Michigan. Joining us right now from Michigan Sugar is the Executive Vice President, Jim Ruhlman. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're also joined by the Vice President of Operations at Michigan Sugar, Jason Lowry. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, let's see. This is harvest season, so let's talk a little bit about the sugar beet slicing and harvesting. What's going on right now, and how's the crop been this year?
The crop looks very, very nice, Paul. We began harvest around August 16th timeframe. Tonnage is very, very respectable. Our sugar content is a tick higher than last year as well, so. So far, we're off to a great start. The crop is very healthy. We expect tonnage to be up this year from last year, and I think our sugars this year, if we can reach sugars this year like we did last year, we'll be in great shape. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think it might be doable.
A lot of these sugar beets are grown right in our backyard here in the Thumb. Where else are they grown? Where are you harvesting these sugar beets?
I mean, we're harvesting here in Michigan, like you said, in the Thumb of Michigan, a lot of acreage grown around the lake bed. So anywhere from Gratiot County east to Croswell and also into Ontario, Canada. So we grow about 10,000 acres of sugar beets in Canada that we transport over to our Croswell factory as well.
Has demand for sugar increased over the last year? I know that demand for a lot of things have increased given the change in everybody's lifestyle during 2020 and early 21. Has that increased the demand for sugar?
From a retail standpoint, I think it has. I mean, we've been very, very busy in our packaging operations, trying to keep up with consumer demand or retail demand. I think overall consumption in the U.S. has not changed drastically, but the retail package end of our business has.
Recently, you invested quite a bit in the Croswell factory, which has helped to increase your production there. And I don't know, Jason, maybe you can talk a little bit more about that, about the Croswell factory.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. This past year, we finished the sixth of 6 years of expansion capital in Croswell. And through that six-year period, we touched on almost every single unit operation in the factory. This last year was a fairly large chunk of money, which consisted of the lime kiln being completely replaced. We took two down and put one up. And that new lime kiln is being driven by natural gas instead of what used to be coal. We've also put in a new evaporator. We've put in some new mud belt filters and a couple of other things in there as well. But really, this was the key year for us to get that throughput up based on the lime kiln and the evaporation station. What we're seeing so far is the lime kiln is operating very, very well. So the operators at Croswell are seeing the lime product that comes out of there as well as the CO2 coming out of the kiln is better than they've seen in a number of years. So things are looking very well.
I'll bet, Jason, you could probably talk for the rest of this hour about how sugar is made, how sugar beets are turned into the sugar that we go to the grocery store and buy and keep on our pantry shelf. But if you could just kind of condense it and explain to us, in brief, how sugar is made from sugar beets.
In the process, there's first thing that happens is a physical separation. So we slice the beets into small French fry looking noodles and put them into what's called a tower diffuser, where we extract the sugar from the solids using hot water. From that point forward, we've got all the sugar out of the beets that we can possibly get, and it's all about purification and evaporation. So we'll go through the carbonation system, where we try to remove as many of the impurities as we can. Then we'll thicken the juice into a syrup, send it up to the pan floor where we crystallize it, and then separate it with centrifuges and dry it and send it out to the bins.
Fascinating stuff. And all that happens right here in Michigan. We're talking about Michigan sugar. It's our Made in Michigan Monday. In addition to that upgrade in Croswell, you've also got a big project going on in Bay City. And either Jim or Jason, I'll throw it up for whichever one of you wants to talk about what's going on in Bay City.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. So at Michigan Sugar, we do currently have what's called the molasses desugarization process already in place at the Bay City factory. That unit can reduce about 60% of our molasses currently and take more sugar out of it and then create a byproduct. This process, through the investment, we will take that up to where we'll be able to desugarize 100% of our molasses and get around 800,000 hundredweights or 80 million pounds more sugar out of the same crop of beets coming in the front end.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't think that people realize here in Michigan how big the sugar industry is, but I mean, Michigan Sugar is a huge company.
Yeah, we're a relatively good size, Paul. I mean, we're $500 million in sales every year. We produce anywhere between 12 and, I'll call it, 14 million hundredweight per year, just to put that in round numbers for you. We're owned by 1,000 sugar beet farmers, so we are a grower-owned cooperative, and they grow 163,000 acres of sugar beets for us. So the dynamic for us is, working with our farmers and helping them with their crop from an agronomy standpoint. We bring the crop in, Jason's group turns it into sugar, and our packaging and warehousing folks put it in bags and ship it out the door. So from an operations standpoint, that's kind of what we're all about.
Well, keep up the good work. I'm glad to hear it was a good crop this year. What kind of challenges have you had over the last year? And I say that only because every organization, every business, every industry has faced special challenges. How about you folks, and how are you meeting those challenges?
Well, supply chain and labor, those are the two key words that we're dealing with right now, and I don't think that'll be any different for anyone that's listening to the program. On a labor standpoint in the factories, we are starting the season 88 people short, and what that equates to is about 6 people per shift per factory. We're learning how to deal with that, and that has gotten worse in the last year, but that has been a key metric. The other side of it is just supply chain. Finding stainless steel that you can get into the factory has been an issue, let alone the price that you're going to have to pay for it. We've had several projects this year that we had to delay because the equipment wouldn't show up on time. You know, those are key challenges, but as a group, we're addressing them head on and making plans and moving our way forward.
You're right, Jason. Everybody in every industry is listening to them, nodding their head, saying, yep, same with us. It's been pretty universal, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes and letting us feature you on our Made in Michigan Monday segment this morning, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah.
1380 WPHM in Port Huron, Jim Ruhlman and Jason Lowry from Michigan Sugar are Made in Michigan Monday here on WPHM.